The following podcast may contain names of people who have deceased. Galada, I'm your host, Luke Briscoe. I'm a Yalaji man and a digital producer at NRTV. In this series, I'll be exploring personal encounters with spirits from the other side. When you really think about it, there's no place in this country where you can escape from Indigenous ghost stories. On today's show, we have Belinda Huntress. Belinda, are you able to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Hi. My name is Belinda. I'm from Warramai Country, which is Gloucester, Foster, Nelson Bay area. I've been brought up there all my life. And when I was growing up, I moved away. I've got two kids, a two-year-old and a seven-year-old, and I live on the Central Coast and I'm a teacher.
Are you able to share a encounter that you've had?
Yeah, so I've had quite a few encounters in my life. I think probably from the age of 14 is when my first encounter happened, and maybe I'll just quickly talk about that one as well, because that was probably the one that really kind of opened up this other world, I think. So when I was 14, I was living at my parents' house. My brother had just moved out of home. He'd finished school and left, and I couldn't wait for him to leave, because then I could have his room. And so I'd finally gotten into this new room, and I guess until that point, I'd always sleep with the door open and sleep in the dark. But I remember, this is like really vivid in my mind, because I guess this has actually changed my whole life. Because when I was at that time, I was asleep and I woke up, and my door was facing, like, my bed was facing straight to the door, and the door was facing the dining room. So the dining room is when you first come out, like straight out of the door, and the table was right there. And I opened my eyes. It was like the middle of the night, and I looked. I just looked at straight out the door, and I could see a ghost sitting at the table. And I guess before that, like when you watch horror movies and stuff like that, and you're always saying, just run, like all that kind of thing. But at that time, like, I literally could not move. Like, I was frozen. And so I can kind of relate to, like, why people in horror movies and stuff, like, act, you know, they're like, they don't move and stuff like that. So basically, it was just literally the stereotype of what a ghost, like, looks like on movies and stuff. So it was sitting at my dad's seat at the table, and then I just was frozen, and I don't know how long I was frozen for, but then it literally turned its head and looked at me, and somehow must have known that I was awake, and started walking into my room. And, like, honestly, I can't even describe, like, I've told some people about it and they say, oh, you know, you were probably still in asleep and blah, 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 but 100% I was not asleep. It was the scariest moment of my whole life. And then it came into my room, and because I was frozen, I couldn't scream. Like, all I wanted to do was scream out for my mum and dad, like, but I just couldn't, because I physically was just frozen. So all I could do, like, at that time was to chuck the covers over my head, and I stayed under there for, I feel like it was about an hour or something. It was a long, long, long time. And I thought, the only option, because I was that terrified that I was going to pull the covers back and it was going to be, like, in my face. But I threw the covers back, and then I just ran straight to my mum and dad's bed and hopped in the middle of them. So I was, like, 14. I was in year 8. But that was, I don't know, like, so before that, I think it was around that time that my nan passed away. But I couldn't tell by looking at the ghost if it was her. That's what I still don't know, because it wasn't clear to me that, you know, how some people say, you know, it was my pop that came to visit or whatever, but I couldn't clearly see that that was her. But I'm hoping, because that was the only encounter that I've actually had at my parents' house. And actually, after she passed away, this is my non-Aboriginal nan, but after she passed away, I had a dream that she came to me in the same room that I was sleeping in and said to me that I'm okay. I just wanted to come and let you know, can you tell the family that I'm okay? And so I did. And it's really interesting because from there on in, my whole life, I've had these dreams when people have passed away. So it's been like a recurring thing that when someone passes away, they come to me and tell me something that I need to tell someone in the family or something like that. And I've had some really, really vivid dreams about that, about family members and stuff. So so I guess that was like my experience. After that, I literally slept. I never slept in that room again. So I just moved into that room and then I moved straight out of there the very next day because I was so scared. And then for a while, because it was pitch black dark in the room, I actually slept with the light on in my room, like the whole light. So it was like daytime while I was asleep. And so after that, from that age, 14, this is going to sound like I'm such a sook, but from there until today, today I'm 35, I still sleep with a nightlight. That's how much it scared me. Yeah, but I guess moving forward, there's been like lots of different things in lots of different places, lots of different houses, all that kind of, even in the bush, I've seen and heard things and stuff like that. But I guess the other one that really kind of stands out to me would be I moved into a house in Newcastle. This was about maybe 6 years ago. And I was with my partner and I had my son was 1 year old probably at that time. And pretty much from the moment we moved into the house, like it looked really cute from the outside, but it was a super old house. Everything about it was old, like it had all the old windows and the old, you know, like the old, what do you call it, the top of the ceiling, all those old details and all that sort of stuff. But pretty much like from the moment we moved in, like weird stuff started to happen. And this one, I feel that the one that I seen when I was a kid was not a scary one, but this one definitely had the thing about doing stuff to torment us or to scare us. And so this was quite terrifying. So the first person that seen it was my partner, but I remember the first time he seen it, he was charged up. So I was like, oh, you're probably just seeing things or whatever. So obviously I didn't want to know that this was a haunted house because usually I can tell when I go into a house, I get a feeling if there's something there or not. So I was, you know, pretty worried about that. But anyway, so one night he was actually standing out in the front veranda, but the door was open and I was standing out there talking to him. And then he just like looked like he was looking like behind me. And he said, I've just seen the ghost go past, the black shadow. And I was like, oh crap, you know? And that was kind of it for then. I kind of didn't think too much of it because, I guess because, like I said, he was pretty charged up, so I didn't really think much of it. But then other stuff started to happen. Like, so we were only there for 6 months, which I'm glad because I can only imagine that more and more stuff would have started to happen. But probably the first thing that happened, I remember one night I was in my room, and because of that thing happening when I was 14, I cannot sleep with the door open anymore. Like, since I was 14, I always have to sleep with the door closed. And because of that, I always make sure the door is closed properly, like not able to swing open or whatever, you know. So when I go to bed, I literally will shut the door and then I like bang it to make sure that it's actually shut so that it can't open by other things, you know. But anyway, so I was asleep in the middle of the night. My son's room was across the corridor, but because of, like, this has actually probably impacted on my life greatly. Because of my thing about having doors open, my kids have always slept in my room because I'm too scared to like leave the door open and leave them in their own room in case something grabs them. So my son was in my room as well. And then, so this was like the first thing that happened to me when I was asleep, and I'm a very, very light sleeper. Like, I can never get into deep sleep. So any noise, anything like that, I'm awake. And then the door just opened in my room. Like, it just opened, like, really slowly opened all the way up. And that was, nothing else happened that night. That was just the first thing that had happened to me. But as we had family coming to stay with us, and like at that time we had a lot of family passing through from up north and stuff like that. And like every single person that came to that house seen the ghost. It was always a black shadow, like that would be mainly in two kind of the dining room and the lounge room usually, or in the hallway. And even I remember one day we're outside playing, like playing with a ball with our son, and we could see it floating around in the house from the outside through the windows. That was pretty scary. But it started to get like sort of the scariest thing that happened, and my partner and I had both seen it, is that there was a lighter on our bed. I don't know why the lighter would be on the bed. That is pretty dangerous. But the lighter was lighting by itself. So to me, that was really scary, because that actually could have like burnt down the house, I guess. And so after that, I was like, geez, I don't know about having any, you know, then I thought, if that's capable of, you know, doing something like that, you know, what's kind of to say that it can't turn stoves on, or I don't know, it was really quite scary. And that was in the middle of the day, and we'd both seen it, and no one was touching it, obviously. Another thing that happened in the middle of the night, I got up to go to the toilet, and I went out. So the bedroom was at the front of the house, and the kitchen and the bathroom were like at the back of the house. And when I, like, I'm a bit OCD, so when I go to bed, I check everything's off. I check, especially when stuff like that's starting to happen, you know, I check all the ovens turned off, you know, everything's in order. And the taps in the kitchen and the taps in the bathroom was blaring full ball. That was quite scary, because I know that they weren't doing that when I went to bed. And then I guess that was, so that, the ghost thing that it was, we've seen that heaps. It wasn't just the once off. It was kind of like all the time. And it got to the point that some of my partner's uncles, they wouldn't come to our house anymore, because I guess like with Aboriginal people being a bit more spiritual and more open to that, and not kind of like, I've found that like a lot of non-Indigenous people that I've talked to this stuff about, you know, their kind of reaction is always, you know, like, oh, that's, you know, you must have been dreaming or whatever. But, you know, with black fellas, like a lot of times it's, you know, they know that it's like, you know, they've experienced that themselves, or for some reason we have more, I guess, like we're more susceptible to that, or I don't know what it is, but a lot of them are more being more spiritual will have an understanding of it. So, yeah, it started to get to the point that some of the family didn't want to come to stay at our house anymore because they were scared and all that kind of thing. And then, so I guess the other thing that happened, I don't know if this was related or not, but to me it was really weird. And I actually talked to my partner about it yesterday just to double check that he didn't do this. Because one night I was asleep and he wasn't there. But what happened, and as I said, like I'm a really light sleeper, I heard his car was in the front. So our room was right at the front of the house and to the front yard. And I heard the car, it wasn't going, it was just moving, if that makes sense. So it was like it was being, I thought it was being stolen basically, but it didn't have any keys in the car. So we had like a Toyota Land Cruiser, it was like an old wagon, and it was parked on the grass at the front of the house. And I looked out the window, and then the car actually was moving. And so I ran out the front. So this is obviously in the middle of the night. It was about midnight or something like that. And then, so the car was moving. What had happened, I don't know if this was a paranormal thing or if it was a person or what, but so the car was rolling down the hill, and it got stuck onto a bin. And so the bin was dragging underneath the car, and the car ended up crashing across the road from our house down the road into someone's front fence. And it was so weird because it was a matter of probably like 5 seconds from where I, when I heard the car like starting to move to by the time I got out the front, it had, it was already moving and there was nobody there. That was really, really weird. I rang the police, like the police came, they asked, you know, all questions, like everything like that. But we still don't know what happened with that car, whether the car, whether that someone stole it, but they were out that quick that like they, maybe they heard me coming and jumped out, but it was literally a matter of 5 seconds from, cause you know, the bedroom was right next to the front door. So I was straight out the door. That was really weird. And I guess, still don't know what happened with that, but that was, you know, that was kind of at that time, the landlord, decided that they didn't want to renew our lease. And I thought, thank God, this is crazy, this house. So I was quite happy to be moving out of there. But I'm not actually sure whether something might have followed us, whether that might have followed us to the next house, or if just because I have this thing that happens to me, that something else happened at the next house as well. And with this one, my son started to see things as well, and he's seen several things as well. So unfortunately, he's got it too. I mean, there's some positives with it, but it is scary at the same time. So sometimes I try not to go too far into it because I don't know, you know, whether they're going to be, you know, if they're family or if they're friendly ones or if they're something very, very scary. But at the next one, well, my son seen, he said it was a black shadow. So my thoughts were that it was the same thing. I was talking to my sister about it yesterday and she reckoned that she was really scared staying at that house too. But the thing that happened for me at that house, and this was really weird, I haven't experienced this before, but what happened, I was awake. It was, my son was asleep. I was awake. My partner was with his brother watching the State of Origin at the pub. And I was sitting on Facebook and I was just scrolling on Facebook and I heard, it was like a, if you could imagine, as loud as like a megaphone. It was a person's voice as loud as a megaphone, and everything in the house was turned off. Like I was in bed scrolling Facebook before I went to sleep. And it was a person's voice that said like a sentence, but the only way I can describe what was said was that it was like a robot. So it wasn't like a human voice. It was like the voice of like Siri or something, if you can imagine, but it wasn't talking.
This Thank is you the part for that being on the show and sharing your insights.
But it wasn't like talking.
If you like this story, then check the out other Indigenous
talk,
ghost stories.
It was talking, Jumanajal. I guess I would describe it as like talking backwards. So it was like, instead of saying, you know, someone in my house was talking backwards, it was because I wasn't expecting to hear this, so I didn't, obviously I wasn't really paying attention to exactly what it said, but it didn't make sense anyway, whatever it said. But so instead of saying someone in my house was talking backwards, it was like backwards of the house and someone talking was. And that's how it said it. And I just got on my phone and I texted my partner and I said, you need to get home right now. Something really scary just happened. And so I don't know if that was the same one or not, but that was pretty scary as well. That was the last thing that I kind of experienced in that house, but it was still pretty terrifying. So I've got, so are you happy for me to keep going or is that, are we kind of time up?
Yeah, happy for you to keep sharing your stories, yeah.
Okay. So I guess like a lot of the other things that have happened have been to do with, like I said, with the dreams and things like that. I know that one of my close friends at the time, actually this is in the house before I moved to the haunted house in Newcastle. This is in Newcastle too, but her father had just passed away and this was weird because we'd both seen it, but we were talking about it and at that very moment, a big white flash came in the whole house. The whole house just flashed white and we both seen it. That was that was pretty freaky. And I actually had a dream about her dad that night, and it was a really, really vivid dream. I don't want to go too much more into that one because it's probably a bit personal for her, but I guess for me, the dreams have been a big thing. So I actually lost a baby in 2012, and that night my grandfather came to me in my dream and said to me that I've got the baby with me and he's all right. I don't know whether the baby was a boy or not because it was only, you know, very small. But that, so to me, like in some ways, this gift has been really comforting to know that I'm still able to communicate with my family that's passed away. But it's not something that I can turn on and turn off so much. Like when my nan passed away, I really, really wanted her to come to me, and she didn't. And I've tried and tried and tried to get her to come and talk to me and make sure she's okay, but I never have had that 10 years later or something like that. But so I think for her, with my pop, he passed away when he was, I think he was about 78, but he had cancer and he died really quickly. It was, you know, very painful and that kind of thing. But my nan survived for another 10 years later. But I think a part of her, when he passed away, a part of her kind of, I guess, left with him because, she, you know, they'd been married for, I think, 49 years or something like that. So I think the way that I interpret that is that she didn't have any unfinished business. And she was happy to go and be with him. So I think that's maybe why she hasn't come to me. Now I've said that, she's probably going to come to me tonight. But hey, things like that have happened. It's really interesting because recently I've been trying to do some more of my family tree stuff, and I keep getting roadblocked on one particular side of the family. And it's really frustrating me. Like, I just want to know so bad about this particular branch of our family. And I had a dream a couple of months ago while I was doing this. And it was an old Aboriginal lady that came to me in my dream, and she said to me, "You're looking at the wrong family." And then in the dream, she took me to a place and told me that this was, I still haven't found out where this place is, and I really wish I had a pen and I wrote this down. She told me the names that I needed to be looking for, and she said, "You're looking at the wrong name." And she showed me a place which looked like it was a saltwater place, and it was near, like, right next to the beach, and they had pine trees. But she showed me that place, and she said, "This is where your ancestors are buried." And but there was like a building on top, and the vibe that I get is like a school. I don't know. I haven't been able to, you know, find out where that place is or anything like that, but. So I find that that's the dreams that I'm getting information to pass on about stuff. A couple of years ago, I was up in Grafton. That's where, my partner, he's from Yamba. So we were staying at his auntie and uncle's house in Grafton, and I woke up, there was a lot of people in the house that night. So like my sister-in-law, she was, in the room right next to me, so she heard me screaming. But I woke up and there was an Aboriginal man staring over the top of me, like his face, but he was wearing like he was painted up, and it was really freaky. And then when I told everyone, so she was awake, and I screamed and she came in, "You okay?" And I said, "Yeah, I just seen this man." And then they all sort of started saying, "Oh, you've done something wrong since you've been here, blah, blah, blah." And I was like, "Oh, I don't know if I've done anything wrong. I haven't really been anywhere. I've only been to the shops or whatever." But then maybe, I don't know, maybe he was just coming to see who I was, or, you know, maybe I hadn't, I know at that time I hadn't acknowledged the country that I was on. So it could have been that I had done the wrong thing in that regard. So I guess along the way, it's been a lot of different things like that. I went to a psychic, actually, about 3 months ago. And When I walked in there, I specifically, because I've been to a psychic before, and so, you know, I wanted to make sure that I didn't tell her too much information about me or anything like that. And I deal it, like, I'm fair, like, you know, I've got, you know, dark hair, dark eyes, that kind of thing. But a lot of time people think I'm from New Zealand. So I didn't say anything about being Aboriginal or anything like that. And when I walked in, the lady said to me straight away, you're Aboriginal, aren't you? And I said, yeah. And she goes, because there's a man that just walked in with you, and he is wearing, like, he's like a tribal man. And she actually said that it was, that he's with her, like that's one of her spirits. But she said he only comes out when we have, and when I have an Aboriginal person, that comes to see me, like for a psychic reading. And she said he's here for protection and to make sure that, you know, culturally he's here to make sure that no other, you know, other spirits can come, and making sure that he protects you while you're here. So that was pretty cool. So I think for me, like, some of the stuff has been really scary, but a lot of it has been quite reassuring. And I think I've always had, like, a gut feeling about things. And I think for a long time I shrugged it off. Like, I really do have, like, a sixth sense. This is going to sound really random, but the other day I was listening to the radio, and before I changed the channel, I said to my son, I bet you any money that Savage Love is going to be on. And I turned the channel on and it was on. And he was like, whoa, how did you do that? And I was like, I don't know. I don't know how I do that. Like, even my partner got a letter in the mail, and I said to him, I bet you any money that this is from such and such. And it actually was. Like, it was such a random person. It's one of his old school friends that sent him a letter in the mail, a Christmas card or something for something. And I don't know what it was, but something just tells me that I know about certain things, and I don't know how to explain that, but that's how it works with me. So I think in a lot of ways it is a gift, and it's really helpful, and I feel really comforted a lot of times when I'm, especially when I'm on country and when I'm in the bush and stuff like that, I call out to the ancestors of that place and tell them where I'm from and, you know, all that kind of stuff, so that I know that I'm, you know, not going to disrespect their country while I'm there, and just letting them know who I am. But it is quite comforting to know that I have people here to protect me, and also I think comforting to know that it's not the end once we do cross over. There's been so many things that have happened that I know that, that it's not just the end once we cross over, or, you know, when we go to the dreaming or wherever we go. So I think that is pretty comforting. It's interesting though, because now I can see that both my kids have this same thing. So my son, actually, we were up in a community in the north coast of New South Wales, and the kids were, he was only about five at this time, but he was playing outside with all the kids, and we were all out there too. And he called out to me and he said, Mum, them green fellas over there want me to follow them. I said, what? And he goes, can't you see them green fellas over there? And I couldn't see them. But I said, no, you can't go with them. Like, there's been quite a few things that have happened with him. But we went to a funeral, actually it was only last week, back up north. And my son, my two-year-old son, we were at the cemetery, and he was waving and laughing to somebody that wasn't there. So I'm starting to see that, that there's things with him that are happening too. And now he's actually, this is kind of freaking me out, but now he won't go into his room by himself. If he goes into his room, he says scary, and I have to go in with him. He will not go in his room without him. But of course, because of my thing that happened when I was 14, my scaredness, he stays in my room, but he just has his room to play in. So even to go in and play in the daytime, he won't go in there. So unfortunately, I think whatever's been passed on to me has now been passed on to them. So I guess in a nutshell, that's kind of some of my stories. I'm hoping that from here on in that they won't be the scary ones, that they'll just be the comforting ones that are there to, you know, show me that I'm protected by the other side.
Oh, I got some goosebumps listening to your yarn. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. From paralyzed states to moving objects, something very scary you know, that you experienced. But really happy that you found something positive from your experience as well. Really interested to know a little bit more about the rough location of that house.
Oh, so it was in Waratah in Newcastle. So actually, it was called Cahiba Road. I'm trying to do some research about it only a couple of weeks ago. I don't know why, but for some reason I wanted to look into it a bit more. I can't remember the number of the house, but I know it was Cahiba Road in Waratah. A white house with a white fence.
So, yeah, if there's any listeners out there that had a similar experience, are you able to share your experience with NITV? Just go to the NITV Facebook page and message us on there. Do you think that there's some reason why you're seeing these spirits? Maybe it's something cultural, something that's trying to tell you something. You've mentioned a little bit about it in your story, but just, you know, reflecting on our yarn today.
I think they know who can do this and who can't. I don't think everyone has this. So to me, I feel that that's why they come to me, because no one else, I know that other people in my family have this, like my nan, she had it. But I do know that something happened with my nan. I don't know the details, but I know that she done something with a Ouija board and some bad stuff happened, when she was like a teenager or something like that. So, I think, I don't know whether that was what, we asked her about it, but she said like it was too scary that she couldn't talk about it, but she just said like never ever ever do that, and I never ever did. My white friends, they all wanted to get into all that stuff, and I said I'm never ever, you know. But so I think part of it is just that they can sense that you have that you can see them or you can hear them. So I think some, like, I've been in places, you know, where other people can see things when I'm there and vice versa, or like when my son could see it and I couldn't. So there's some people that can see it and some people that can't. So I think it's partly because of that. But I also think I'm really wanting to connect more with my Aboriginality. And like growing up, it was a weird place to grow up where I grew up, and I got like bullied a lot about it when I was at in primary school, like racism and stuff like that. And I think that was really quite a catalyst for me to find out more about my family, because it was something that wasn't really kind of talked about. We didn't grow up like culturally connected to stuff, if that makes sense. So I think for me, I think part of it is to do with that I'm really, really wanting to know as much as I can about my family and about where I'm from. And I think part of it that I'm seeing, you know, Aboriginal ghosts, I'm seeing white ghosts, like I'm seeing, you know, lots of different things. I think part of it is my ancestors trying to help me connect with that, and especially the fact that I'm having dreams about, you know, connecting to my family tree and stuff like that. I think that's really cool, and I think that's part of it. And I actually feel, I feel closer to my Aboriginality because I have this, if that makes sense. Like I feel, because I can feel things, and I can feel when I go to certain places, like I know certain places, like in the bush that I go to, and I don't know anything about that place if I'm going through that place, but I get feelings. Like I get, sometimes I get a really bad feeling that there's something that happened here, maybe like a massacre or something like that. I don't know for sure if it was or if it wasn't, but I get feelings when I go on country about certain places. And so I think for me, it actually makes me feel closely, like more closely connected with my, I guess, identity, and that kind of thing, because I know that I'm connected to all of these places, you know what I mean? Like, you know, in terms of Australia, but in terms of where I'm from and all that kind of stuff, I feel that not everyone has that actual spiritual connection to country. So for me, that's how I interpret it anyway.
Is there any kind of little sign or something that gives you a sense that something's in the area?
Well, I know that one. I went to a community on the North Coast, and that's the same place that my son seen the green spirit. And that night, when we were all talking at the front, an owl came, and the owl came and literally landed like above my head, not on my head, but like on the railing right above me, like it was there checking me out. And maybe, I guess that was the fact that I was the only one not from there. So, you know, maybe that was their, like, wanting to know who I was and what I was doing there kind of thing. So I guess that was probably the main, I just remembered something else that happened, that this was actually really quite a freaky thing, but to do with, you know, objects and symbols and stuff. Because I'm a teacher, I was in a class teaching about, so with my role, I teach Aboriginal education. So I don't have my own class, but I go into every class in the school, and I teach once a week all classes. And so the other teacher is always with me in the class. So we team teach, and I'm kind of mentoring, and they watch how I'm doing it and how I incorporate Aboriginal perspectives. But one time I was just in the class teaching a lesson, and a willy wagtail came into the classroom. And I said to the teacher, oh no, this is like a bad sign. Like someone's going to get sick or someone's going to die. I didn't say that in front of the kids, you know, but like I just sort of said it to her quietly. Because, I mean, you know, that was pretty confronting. Like, the willy wagtail literally came into the classroom. And I thought, geez, I didn't think that was necessarily there for me, but I just knew that was, you know, a bad kind of message sort of thing. Anyway, that afternoon I got into the car. I was literally, like, hadn't even left the street of the school, and my phone rang, and it was my mum. And she said, your nan's had a fall. She's been rushed to Taree Hospital. I don't think she's going to wake back up. She had hit her head on a metal pole thing, and she actually never regained consciousness after that, and she passed away about a week later. So that was pretty freaky. You know, I didn't, you know, that bird was actually there to tell me the message, and it was just weird that it was only a couple of hours later, still at the front of the school, that I got the call. So in a way it's comforting, but in a way, you know, every time I see a willy wagtail, I freak out.
Yeah, it seems like you have that innate ability to connect with the other side, and you get messages, you know, passed on to you. Yeah, is there anything that you do or recommendations that you would suggest to people out there?
Well, I before I go to bed, I kind of do like a bit of a ritual that I just sort of call out to my ancestors and ask them to watch over me as I sleep, watch over my kids as we sleep. So that's pretty much the main one that I do. It's just kind of, you know, in my head or saying it out loud, you know, to my old people, please can you just make sure that we, you know, protect us from anything, and make sure that we, you know, when we wake up tomorrow, you know, that we're safe and that kind of thing. So I kind of just do it in that regard. And I think, but I definitely think that if something was to happen again in an actual house, like what had happened in that house at Waratah, I 100% would be getting an elder to come in and smoke that house out. So I don't have like an actual object as such. Like I've heard of lots of different things, but I mean, hopefully this house is pretty safe. Until maybe today when I've talked about this all and it can hear me.
Just wanted to thank you again for coming on the show. Is there any last words you'd like to say?
No, enjoy listening. Can't wait to hear them all. Thanks, Luke.
Okay, thanks, Belinda.
Okie dokie.
Juma Najal. Indigenous people have lived in this country for thousands of years and formed deep spiritual relationships to the landscape, which is generational. Some of these spiritual bonds include communicating with spirits on the other side.
And she was standing in the middle of the kitchen, pointing up to the air. And my mum said, what are you doing? And she said, I'm talking to Daddy.
And within a few minutes of leaving the trees, it was like almost at the house.
From the Wawa in the south to the Dadja in the north, whether we like it or not,
these spirits are a part of this land and a part of all of our lives.